Welcome to Vallejo's Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, December 3rd, 2017. The Reverend Wendy Camori Stager is our pastor. Her sermon today is Be Silent. The Old Testament message is from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11, and our New Testament lesson is from the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 25, and verses 57 through 66.
Our New Testament scripture for today, it's kind of long, but it's a story. It's the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, who become the parents of John the Baptist. I'm actually going to read it in the midst of my sermon, so I'm not going to read it separately here. Will you join me in a word of prayer? God, you are God, and we are not. And on this day when I am sick, I ask that you would be the one speaking. Use my weakness. Use all that is here in order that your word may go forth forever. The grass withers and the flower fades, but your word endures. And so we pray that you would help all of us to hear your word this day in our lives, and then have the courage to follow it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Welcome to Advent. Our space looks different. We've got red and green in here, but the traditional color for Advent is the more somber purple, the same color as Lent. It's a season of preparation for one of the most holy days in the church calendar. And while we have Advent, the rest of our culture is already celebrating Christmas. You see it. It's in the stores. People have Christmas trees. There's red. There's green. But Advent is a time when we are being intentionally countercultural and preparing so that celebration doesn't arrive too quickly, so that we're ready for it. Our Advent theme this year is Advent, a time of active waiting. How many of you have heard of active listening? Right? Yeah, so active listening is a skill. It's a skill that we teach, and we teach to peer counselors, and that many of you have learned maybe in leadership classes or even here, where listening is more than just sitting there with your ears open. That listening takes some eye contact. Listening might be saying, or echoing back what you've heard somebody say, paying attention to your body posture. But active listening means that when you're the listener, you're still actively in that conversation. So I want to take that same idea of active listening and put it to active waiting. So often we think about waiting as kind of a nothing time. It's what we're waiting to get to. But our texts this Advent are about people who received the good news that what God was doing ahead of the wondrous birth. This Sunday, we're looking at Zechariah. In the future Sundays, we'll look at Mary. We'll look at Joseph, as well as the shepherds, who are all hearing about upcoming good news. So our scripture this day is Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 25, and 55 through 66. I've actually never preached or studied this piece of scripture before. It's not in our lectionary themes, but it's here, right at the beginning of the book of Luke. This is before even we hear about Mary. Here we go. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah. Now, Zechariah means Yahweh remembers. So his very name is about remembering God. He belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. Elizabeth means oath of God. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. But they had no children. Because Elizabeth was barren, both were getting on in years. Barrenness in biblical times was seen as a sign that there was something wrong. It wasn't looked at as a medical condition. It was looked at as sort of a sign of God's disfavor. But that's really inconsistent in this passage, because we've already heard that they're righteous, they're living blamelessly according to the commandments. These are pretty upright people, but yet Elizabeth had not yet had a child. Once, when Zechariah was serving as a priest before God and his section was on duty, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and offer incense. Now, at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. We don't choose by lot as quite as often as they did, but there were more priests there than there were duties to perform. And so it's not like every priest was on the rotation all the time. And this was a very sacred task, to go in and light incense, and incense as a sign of smoke and prayers going up to God. And so the priest was going in as a special sign of that. And the poor people who are praying outside, they're trusting that this priest is going to the holy place in the holy room of the temple to light this special incense for it to go. Some scholars think that this is an opportunity that might have only happened once in Zechariah's lifetime. That it was his day. And so it's his day, and he goes in to this holy place at a holy time, and he's a holy person. Of all times and of all people to be expecting something, someone from God whose name is Yahweh remembers, he's not so remembering in this moment. For while he was there, verse 11, there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. Angel, when you conjure up a picture of an angel, what do you picture?
Someone in a white robe.
White robe, wings, right? Big feathery wings, halo, maybe, huh? Glowing, maybe they're glowing, right? We don't know what this angel looked like. I think that's kind of our modern concept of angel. The word angelos actually means messenger. And so we don't know that that's exactly, but certainly nobody else is supposed to be there. And then there is a messenger there standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was terrified. Whoa, something's going on here that I didn't expect, even when I was going to worship, even when I was going to pray. I don't expect this. And fear overwhelmed him. But the angel says what the angels say all the time when they run into human beings. The angel says, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him to turn the hearts of parents to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Whew. That's a big announcement. I also want you to note that Zechariah has already been praying for this. He's been asking for this. Next week we'll look at Mary. Mary wasn't praying for a child, but Zechariah and Elizabeth were praying and asking God, We want to have a child. And so here he is in a holy place at a holy time, being a holy person who knows the scriptures, and a messenger comes to him. And what's his response? His response is, he says back to the angel, "How will I know this is so? For I'm an old man and my wife is getting on in years." Speaking back to an angel, that takes some guts, right? And this guy whose name is Yahweh remembers. Do you all remember other people who were old and getting on in years who managed to have children? Abraham and Sarah, right? Other women who prayed and wanted to have a child. Hannah, right? Even Rebecca. So here's somebody who knows the scriptures, knows the stories, gets the message. It's going to happen to you. But his response is, "How will I know this is going to be so?" And the angel replied, I always wonder what the tone of the angel is. You know, is the angel gentle and saying, "I'm Gabriel," or is the angel like, "I'm Gabriel"? Gabriel means power of God. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and bring you good news. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak until the day these things occur. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondered at his delay in the sanctuary. And when he did come out, he couldn't speak to them. And they realized he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He kept motioning to them, right? And they remained unable to speak. When his time of service was ended, he went to his home. Imagine yourself as Zechariah for a few moments. You've seen an angel. You've been terrified and confused. You ask the angel a question, and now you're being struck mute and not able to speak? How many of you have like ever had laryngitis and you can't really say anything for a while? Huh?
Or sing.
What?
Or sing,
right? Our speaking voice is such a big part of who we are. And presumably priests, like pastors or teachers, were using their voice a lot. They were teachers. They used words in their public and professional lives. And so when you can't speak, you do. You're trying to use everything else, right? Yeah. I'm wondering if this is a punishment. Do you think this is a punishment for Zechariah because he didn't believe? No, I mean, I'm not into the idea of a punishment for God. I wonder if it's more like a consequence, you know, when you're parenting and you're like, you need to sit down for a moment and think about this. And that you might give a child a time out, not so much as like, you're an awful child and you did something awful, but you need to pause and think about this for a while. So I wonder if that's more what the angel had done as a disciplinarian action. You need some time, Gabriel, to not speak and to ponder. So at this time in the story, Elizabeth hadn't even conceived yet. And Zechariah doesn't get to speak until John is actually born. So I'm thinking this is at minimum, right? At minimum, it's 10 months. Probably closer to a year. A year that Zechariah is not speaking. And in that year, even while he's not speaking, the words of the angel began to come true. Verse 24. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion. She said, "This is what the Lord has done for me when he looked favorably upon me and took away the disgrace I have endured among my people." Elizabeth conceived, and she herself had her own time, not of muteness, but of some quietness, of seclusion, that some women of that time chose to be away during their pregnancy. But her time sounds a little more peaceful, that she was welcoming her moments of active waiting. I picture that the relationship between Elizabeth and Zechariah was different when her husband couldn't speak. Did she enjoy the quiet? Did she miss their conversations? And how might Zechariah have been changed by his time of muteness and of actively waiting for God's words to become true in his life? Well, we get to hear that because here is where we're skipping ahead in the story. We're going to skip to verse 57 so we can track with Elizabeth and Zechariah. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child. They were going to name him Zechariah after his father, but his mother said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "None of your relatives have that name." They began motioning to his father to find out what name he wanted to give him. Yeah, thanks for not listening to the woman in the story, right? He asked for a writing tablet, and he wrote, "His name is John." All of them were amazed. Immediately, his mouth was opened, his tongue freed, and he began to speak. And what's the first thing that he's speaking about when he's able to speak again? He's praising God. Fear came over all the neighbors, and all these things were talked about throughout the entire hill country of Judea. All who heard them pondered them and said, "What then will this child become? For indeed, the hand of the Lord was with him." So we know that Zechariah was changed in his year. For when his son was delivered, Zechariah is able to speak. He is praising God. Maybe he's praising God he can speak again. But maybe he's praising God for the lesson and praising God of how God has been working in his life and speaking a new reality. And that makes me think that his year of muteness was also a gift to him. Maybe a gift that he didn't appreciate when he first received it. But that muteness focused him into a deeper reflection in his daily life. And in that reflection, he came to see and observe more of God's goodness. Any of you listen to TED Talks? Oh, I love TED Talks. And TED on the Radio Hour, they had a thing on quiet that I was listening to when I was sick. And there's a man named Planet Walker and Jonathan Edwards who didn't speak for 17 years, voluntarily. He stopped speaking on his 27th birthday in 1973 because he found himself arguing all the time. He was an environmental activist who had seen an oil spill right here in the San Francisco Bay and had decided in his own conviction, "I'm going to stop using motorized vehicles and I'm going to walk everywhere. I'm not going to get in a motorized vehicle at all." But people kept arguing with him, and he would get into debates about whether one person could make a difference. And his response was always to rant and rave about everybody should be doing what I'm doing. And one day, he thought, "Maybe I don't have a reason to speak." And so then, he didn't speak. He writes this: after a few weeks, people started getting worried. My girlfriend wanted me to stop. I sent a letter to my parents in Philadelphia telling them I hadn't spoken for 3 weeks and I was thinking of not speaking for a year. My dad got on the next plane. They thought I'd been taken over by a California cult. But he also said, I liked not speaking. It gave me peace. During that time, I gained a bachelor's, master's, and a PhD in environmental studies. I learned some sign language to help me communicate, and I walked across the United States playing my banjo and became known as the Planet Walker. I'm not advocating that all of us need to be silent for 17 years. But I wonder what silence might teach us about active Advent waiting. Because I think there is something in changing our patterns that can lead to praise and thanks to God. I wrote in my newsletter article that for Advent, sort of like taking on a Lenten discipline, I'm taking on an Advent discipline of adding more silence into my life. In a day where you can have an earbud in, where the car has a radio, where every store has music playing, silence can be rarer for us and harder to come across. And so I am working towards not extended time, but even 5 minutes of intentional silence. Perhaps when I'm driving from work, from home to here, my 8 minute commute, to not automatically turn on the radio or put in a podcast, or I have one of those things in my car, I can make a phone call in the car and do it hands-free, right? But to just let that time be silent. It's countercultural, weird even, especially when the world outside us is full of the ringing of bells and blustery music and all the flash and noise and color. But I think our lesson today from Zechariah, who was made mute, but life continued on around him, right? Sometimes, some of you may have been on a silent retreat. It can be easy to be silent when everybody else around you is silent, or that's the expectation. We're all going to be silent together. But Zechariah was mute in the midst of everybody else being able to talk and live their daily lives. And so here's the end of my sermon. Where'd it go? And so I get that it's hard to do that. But I also think that there's a gift in that, and that we won't know what that gift is unless we try it and we're available to it. And so I invite you, in your own way, to practice some silence this week and to see and listen and actively wait in those moments that silence is a gift. And to practice that, I'm going to invite us to, that's our time. Going to invite us to 3 minutes of silence right now. As I learned in the community of Tize, they say there is no wrong way to be in the silence. Your mind may race all over the place. That's okay. You let it go. Sometimes people get a particular word that they repeat, right? Or a phrase, right? God is here. And you just kind of repeat that phrase over and over again. God is here. Sometimes it's just about not doing anything, but to be in God's presence. So I invite us to a time of active waiting and of silence.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.